Sometimes this can be a hard day. But not. It's only hard if you resist what's there and you don't want it to be there and you don't recognize the value of why it's there. So it sounds okay. This is water from David Foster Wallace. Terry directed us to his story. But he says, so there's these two young fish, and they're swimming along in the ocean, and this older gentleman fish comes swimming along the opposite way. And he says to the two young fish, when he approaches them, "How's the water?" And the fish just keep swimming on. And when they get out of earsight of the older fish, the one fish says to the other, "What in the hell is water?" So the important point of the fish story is that the things that are the most obvious, ubiquitous, the most important realities are often the hardest ones to see and to talk about. And so, here we have our essential nature. And isn't it so hard to talk about it? It has no form. You can't understand it with the mind. It's beyond the mind. It's vast, spacious, boundless, perfect, whole, complete. And yet we try to talk about it. One of the ways that you might most easily recognize this mystery or this essence is because the essence of the mystery is also the essence of who we are, because it created us. And so it has qualities or expressions that we experience, and they're called the Brahma-viharas in the teachings. And the Brahma-viharas are our love and peace and joy and equanimity. And we know these things because they lie within us. And they're all around us. They're water. And you had the experience of these Brahma-viharas yesterday in the concentric circle. When Terry was taking you through the circle, he was taking you through the feeling of love, the feeling of joy, the feeling of peace, the feeling of equanimity. And it was a felt sense. And you may have even noticed the difference when you started off thinking about being with the other person with your mind, as opposed to being with them from the heart. When you approach something from the heart, it's more expansive, it's more spacious, it's inclusive. When you approach things from the thinking mind, there's a separateness. It's not a bad thing, it's the way the mind works, it's the function. It's, you know, if you look at the candle in the middle of the room, and you're looking at it, and you see the candle, and you're thinking about seeing the candle, you recognize the candle is an object within your awareness. Subject, object. But if you look at the same candle, so you're focused on it right now, focused awareness, and that's great to have focused awareness. We And so we have these practices that are practices that are refining our perceptions and our ways of being in the world. And refining the capacity, we know we have attention and we cultivate that and the capacity to be focused. But you also can cultivate the capacity of coming something to something, anything, ourselves included, from the place of the heart, from the place of love, the Brahmavihara of love, isn't necessarily a love to something or to someone. It's an abiding love that lives within us. It's a place that we can live. The Brahmaviharas are called abodes. They're like a refuge. They're a place that you can go to, that you can be held. And to come to really embrace and embody and to experience this is so important, because there are times when we, of course, get lost in the obscurations, where we start to have some conditioned response from our past come into our awareness, and we identify with it as being I, me, my, and we contract around it, and we suffer. And we can notice it and let it go, and notice it and let it go. But have you ever noticed those times when you can't let it go? And it's just like niggling at your mind, and you can't get rid of it? One of the practices is then to be intimate with it. Intimacy is love. Love is intimacy. To become so close to it that you embrace it with loving kindness, and from there a wisdom arises. There's an understanding that arises of why it's even there, and it's there as an opportunity to point us back to where we've forgotten our true nature. It's both an obscuration to our essential nature, but it's a pointer to our essential nature. In the same way that a cloud obscures the sun, it doesn't mean the sun's not there. And when the cloud goes away, oh, there's the sun. And this is like penetrating your attention, your awareness, into the obscuration until it's revealed to you its reason for being there. So the practice is simple, but it's not easy. And so we really do have to be kind to ourselves. Loving kindness. And by being with a part of ourselves that feels so much like it's suffering, and our willingness to be intimate with it, welcome everything, is the practice. And by being intimate with it, compassion arises. The greater your capacity to suffer, the poem last night was from sorrow. Oh, that was joy. Okay, we're not there yet. The compassion is, the greater your willingness to sit with your suffering, the greater your compassion arises. The sorrow arises because our true nature is obscured from our awareness, and we feel so disconnected, and there's great sorrow. But as soon as we look through the obscuration, the revelation of the discovery, there it is again. There is our essential nature. Then great joy arises. And equanimity, our practice is to keep cultivating equanimity. Goenka says, awareness with equanimity is purification. Anything you can step back and give it some space and look at it. And allow it to be there, not just allow, but to welcome it to be there. With curiosity. Seems like everything leads back to love. This is water. You could say we're cultivating awareness, but awareness is love. Love is awareness. You know, we have words, you know, and words work for some and not for others. Awareness tends to be more of a masculine word, and love more feminine. So you can choose which one works better for you. So this is water. And we cultivate our capacity to remember it. But we forget. You could say, we forget and we remember. We're human, we're divine. You could say we're blinking in and blinking out. We blink in, oh, look, here, feel, it's everywhere. And we blink out, oh, here I am. We're not trying to get rid of anything. We're not trying to get rid of our egoic self. It has purpose. We have purpose, we have meaning, we have value, because we've been given this life. And everything, everyone wants to be seen, heard, connected to, and to belong. We have our basic needs of being safe and have food and clothing, but after that, these are the things that we basically need personally. But that includes everything within us too. Everything. you remember the poem, The Duck? Now we're ready to look at something pretty special. It's a duck riding the ocean 100 feet beyond the surf. No, it isn't a seagull. A gull always has a raucous touch about him. This is some sort of duck, and he cuddles in the swells. He isn't cold, and he's thinking things over. There's a big heaving in the Atlantic, and he is a part of it. He looks a bit like a mandarin or the Lord Buddha meditating under the Bodhi tree. But he is hardly enough above the eyes to be a philosopher. He has poise, however, which is what philosophers must have. He can rest while the Atlantic heaves because he rests in the Atlantic. Probably he doesn't know how large the ocean is, and neither do you. But he realizes it. And what does he do, I ask you? He sits down in it. He reposes in the immediate as if it were infinity, which it is. He has made himself a part of the boundless by easing himself into justice.